Galatians 5, I'm reading the first 6 verses. I remember the man who wrote these words, the man whom God used to write these words, the apostle Paul, was at one time the champion of salvation by works. He was the champion of self-righteousness. He was the strictest of Pharisees, a legalist. And as he said, he had much in which to glory. If any man thinketh he hath whereof to glory, he said, I'm more. And he began to give his credentials. He would have taken his place beside the Pharisee in the temple. I thank thee, Lord, I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I tithe all that I possess. I give alms to the poor. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not even like this publican. But by the grace of God, he became the champion of salvation by grace. Justification by faith. Listen to him. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Paul knew something about the bondage of the law. He knew something about it when he was in it. He knew a whole lot more about it when he was delivered from it. But Paul knew the bondage, the slavery to customs, to ceremonies, one ceremony after the other. He knew the slavery and bondage to the special holy days and feast days and Sabbath days. How you could just walk so far on the Sabbath day and do certain things, really nothing much at all. He knew the bondage of the sacrifices. You had to have a sacrifice for the morning and one for noon and one for the evening. You had to have the atonement once a year. When a boy reached a certain age, a few weeks from the womb, had to have a sacrifice. When a girl reached a certain age, that's another sacrifice. And turtle doves and rams and bullocks and sheep and goats. He knew about all the duties of religion, couldn't eat certain meat, had to pay a tithe on everything, you had to, even on your crops, on the spices, on the money, everything had to be strict tithing and tradition. He had no rest, no peace, no joy of assurance, bondage. Over there in verse 21 of chapter 4, he said, tell me, you that desire to be under this bondage, this law, do you not hear it? Do you not hear the law? He heard it. He knew it. He knew something about that bondage. And therefore, in verse 1 of chapter 5, he cries out to the Galatians, stand fast. Hold on, be diligent, therefore, in this glorious, wonderful liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Oh, if the Son shall make you free. Not just free from the curse of the law, but free from the duties of it, the doings of it, free from the traditions of it, free from the bondage of it. Free from always being concerned whether you've done enough. Don't sit here. Don't sit there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't go here. Don't go there. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Touch not. Taste not. Handle not. Drive you up a wall. Bondage. That's what it is. Bondage. Ah, stand fast. If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Free indeed. And don't Don't become entangled again with that yoke of bondage. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Ah, the peace that passeth understanding. Don't be entangled again. Look back here at Galatians 3 and hear him here. That's what this book of Galatians is all about. Some of these folks that heard the gospel and believed the gospel, and Paul had preached the gospel to them and others, and then other preachers had come in and said, now, got to be circumcised. That's right. Every male that openeth the womb, that's what the Bible says, he's circumcised. Got to keep the Sabbath. That's right. The Sabbath goes clear back to creation. One day out of seven, got to rest. Can't do any work. Got to follow the Sabbath. Got to tithe. Start with your babies, with your infants, and whatever they have, whatever possession. Take a tenth out. That's not yours. That's God. Strict tithing. Watch your diets. Can't eat this. Can't eat that. All these things, and these things had brought it back in. It brought it into the church. Brought it into the church. Easter, special holy day. Lent, Christmas. Candles. Rigid rules, regulations. Touch not, taste not, handle not. And then he says in chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath deceived you? Who's come in and pulled the wool over your eyes? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Paid the debt? Satisfied the law? Put away the bondage? Delivered us from the curse? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law? No. By the hearing of faith. That's how you receive the Holy Spirit. That's how the joy of Christ and the peace of Christ and the rest of Christ. Now, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by your deeds and duties and works? And law? Did God save you by grace and perfect you by works? Did God redeem you by love and perfect you by your duties? Have you suffered so many things in vain? At verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Don't become entangled again with that yoke of bondage. The hymn writer put it this way, it's not the labors of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite? No. Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could never atone. Christ must save. Christ alone. Nothing in my hands I bring. Not a tithe, not a Sabbath, not a circumcision, not a duty, not a deed. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross of Christ I cling. Naked come I to thee for dress. Helpless look I to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Jesus Christ alone, by Himself, purged our sins. He alone is the complete, all-sufficient Redeemer and Atonement. And he that believeth on Christ, and Christ alone, is forgiven. Be his sins ever so many. And he that believeth not on Christ is damned. Be his sins ever so few. Now here in verse 1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and don't become entangled again in this yoke of bondage. You see, under the law, the Jewish male had to be circumcised. That was the mark of the covenant. That was the sign of Israel. That was the sign of an Israelite and his part in the covenant God made with Israel. Under the law of the Sabbath day had to be rigidly kept. The seventh day. Rigidly kept. Under the law, the tithe had to be rigidly paid. That was a duty. It was a tax. It had to be paid. Under the law, there were certain washings that had to be done. This is all pictures of Christ. These are all shadows of Christ. These are all preparations for Christ to show us what God requires and what God demands and what we must produce and what Christ will fulfill. But there were washings. There were purifications. All manner of purification, all manner of diets. There was a touch not, and a taste not, and a handle not. And under the law, all the sacrifices must be made just exactly as God ordered Moses to make them. All the feast days and holy days must be kept. Men had to go to these things. Women didn't have to, but the men did. Do you not hear the law? Circumcision, Christ fulfilled. Circumcision is of the heart, not the flesh, the heart. God gives us a new heart, a new nature. That's the mark of true Israel. They worship God in spirit, and they have no confidence in the flesh, and they love Christ Jesus. It's a mark. It's God cuts the heart. Operates on the heart, not the flesh. Christ is our Sabbath. We enter into His rest. We cease from our labor. He's our Sabbath. He's our altar. We have an altar. He washed us. He said, David prayed, Lord, purge me with hyssop. Wash me. All those washings and baptisms and purgings and purifications are fulfilled in Christ. It's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth me. It's what comes out of the heart. You cannot defile a perfect heart through something from without. No more sacrifice for sin. No more atonement. Christ paid it all. All the debt I owe. Free from the law of duty and deeds and ceremony and sacrifices and circumcision, tithes and Sabbath days and holy days. Free! Free. And don't let anyone, I don't care how pious he is, don't let him, don't do it, he said. Oh, foolish Galatians, don't be bewitched, don't be deceived, don't let anybody come in. Slip in, creep in, and entangle you again in these things. Circumcision. Sabbath keeping. Tithing. Oh, they'll make it sound good. They'll make all kind of promises. They'll have you driving a bargain with God. I'll do this, God, if you do that. I'll pay off if you pay off. Don't get in that business. I'll keep one day and forget the rest of them. Be careful now. Be careful. Certain foods. Everything is to be received with thanksgiving. Blessed of God. Holidays. Easter. I've often thought I'd love to cancel services here on Easter Sunday morning and go fishing. Everybody in this church, just go fishing. Walter does that in Mexico because they put so much emphasis. He says, I don't have special services on that time because they're doing it and they say there's something to it. We're going to do the opposite. Let's just close up and go fishing and let the whole world see we don't believe in a day. We believe in a person. We don't worship the day He arose. We worship Him who arose. Every day is the Lord's day. Every day. Shut her down. I think it'd be a good idea. Just let the world know, oh, that's horrible. It's more horrible to be entangled in duties and deeds and think God owes you something for being nice on Sunday morning, resurrection morning. Lent, that's blasphemy. Christmas is a joke. That's right, the priesthood. Confession. All of this sort of thing. I have a high priest. I don't need any human being to intercede for me. I've got the advocate, the mediator, Christ the Lord. And I hold in utter contempt his so-called holiness over there, and everybody that's identified with him or associated with him or supports him. I hold them in utter, absolute contempt. Because they're not the vicar of Christ. Vicar's substitute, isn't it? Take somebody's place. That's a horrible thing for a man to call himself a vicar of the Son of God. He's our vicarious one. He's our vicar, Christ is. Don't let them influence you. Don't kneel with them, and don't cross with them, and don't take your hat off with them. Keep your hat on your head when he walks by. Don't you let anybody. Behold, I, Paul, look at verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you. And like I told you, this man knows what he's talking about. He was in this mess. That's right, he was in it, lock, stock, and barrel, trying to find acceptance with God by what he did. And that is a mess. These things served their purpose if it had been received like they should have been. Types and pictures and not means and ends. Behold, I, Paul, say to you, if you be circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. What's he saying there? If you do any act of religious tradition, custom or duty to be accepted of God. If you do anything, whether it be circumcision or Sabbath keeping or tithing, you say, now God's going to bless me if I do this. Watch out. Watch out. Careful. If you do anything in order to be accepted of God and feel that in that duty and in that deed and in that sacrifice that it makes you a little more holy in God's sight and acceptable in His presence, Christ profits you nothing. Now that's serious. His death means nothing. His blood means nothing. His burial means nothing. His resurrection and His intercession mean nothing if I'm going to add anything to it, even the least of duties. That's what he said. Because verse 3, he says, I'm going to tell you the road you're walking in. I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that is, as a religious act, or keeps the Sabbath as a religious duty, or tithes because it's required, or eats certain food, or keeps certain days because he feels like it makes him more holy to God or before God. Any man that does that, he's a debtor to do the whole law. Let's go back now and start sacrificing again. Let's go back and keep the Sabbath day. Now, not the first day of the week. That ain't the Sabbath day. Let's keep the Sabbath day. Let's do it in detail and duty and all the rest of these laws. Let's forget Christ and go back to the law. Oh, no, preacher. That's right. Oh, no. Oh, no. For listen, verse 4. For Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are that are justified by law, by duties, by deeds. You're fallen from grace. You've departed from salvation by grace. You're going to stand before God on your works alone because you've deserted the rock of ages, the hiding place, the foundation, the tried stone. You've gone back to your works. Christ is of no effect. You've fallen from salvation by grace, and now you must be judged by works alone. Because there's no cooperation between works and grace. Now let me show you that in Romans. Turn to Romans 11. Romans 11. Oh, this is so clear. Romans 11, verse 5. Let's look at this. Even so then, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, it's no more works. No more. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Grace has got to be pure grace, all of grace, or not grace at all. But if it be of works, it's no more of grace. Otherwise, work is not work. Now, here's where I want to get to verse 5 and 6. For we who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's who he's talking about, we, not what these hands have done, can save my guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy work, O Christ, alone can take away my sin. Thy blood, O Lamb of God, alone can give me peace within. That's the we there. For we who believe on Christ, who rest in Him, who trust Him. Secondly, through the Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerated us. The Holy Spirit called us. The Holy Spirit came and delivered us out of the sinful religion and darkness of ignorance and works and deeds, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The Holy Spirit did that. We, not because we're smarter than other people, not because we know more, we, through the Spirit, through the revelation and regeneration and calling of God's Spirit. Watch it now. We wait. Preacher, wouldn't it be better? I just feel like we ought to say we work. Like Philip said, we're all working for the same place. I'm not. I'm not working for anything. It's not a blessed thing. I have everything. It's a free gift. Yeah, but I know what you mean, do you? We don't work, we wait. We cease from our works. We cease from our labors and entered into His rest. We who believe through the Spirit wait. One fellow wrote one time, he said, to complete this living temple of God, we have nothing to do but wait. To the garment of righteousness, we dare not add a thread, but wait. To our acceptance with God and our inheritance reserved in Christ, we add nothing. We're waiting. To the atonement of Christ and His blessed offering for sin, we contribute nothing. It's finished. What are you doing? I'm waiting for the redemption of God's people. I'm waiting. We, through the Spirit of God, wait. What are we waiting for? I'm waiting for the hope. What's the hope? Well, the hope's not in the law. Hope's not in our works. That'd be no hope. But this hope is expectation based on His work. His word, His promise, His power. We wait. Christ in you, that's the hope. We wait for that hope. It's a hope of the glory of God, Paul said. It's a good hope because it's through grace. It's a blessed hope. It's a better hope. It's a living hope. It's a hope of expectation at any moment based on His promise. Oh, yeah, I believe in salvation by works. His. not mine. And when he said, I finished the work you gave me to do. Now glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify thee. I finished the work. And here I come along with my little tithe and say, well, just add this to it. Is that all? And some preacher says, well, let's all keep the Sabbath day, you know. Let's all be careful not eat any pork anymore, because that won't purify you. You got to purify your body, you know. Purify. Whew, this thing. It needs purifying, doesn't it? But my soul purified by Christ. You're just getting that old body fixed up to stick it in the grave and let it go back to the worms and the dust. We wait for that hope of righteousness. That hope of righteousness. How? By faith. By faith. Now watch this verse. For in Jesus Christ, in the religion of Jesus Christ, in the hope of Jesus Christ, in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, word it like you want to, in the body of Jesus Christ, in the church of Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Now in Moses' law it did. There was a time in Moses' law that circumcision had its place. Sabbath keeping had its place. Tithing had its place. Customs, duties, sacrifices, washing, purification, all of some consideration under Moses' law. But we're not under Moses' law. Christ has fulfilled the law. And circumcision in Jesus Christ, in the kingdom of Christ, in the work of Christ, in the person of Christ, in the church of Christ, circumcision doesn't avail you anything. Or anything goes with it. But now, wait a minute, neither does uncircumcision. Circumcision's of no avail, but uncircumcision not either. Fella says, I keep the Sabbath, won't help you. Another fella says, well, I don't keep it. Well, that won't help him either. Fella says, I tithe, that won't help you if you don't have Christ. Fella says, well, I don't believe in tithing. Well, he ain't going to be helped either. I mean, come on. Fella said, well, I celebrate the day. Well, I don't. Well, you're both in bad shape. I have a day, it's Christ. I have an altar, it's Christ. I do have a Sabbath. I do have a priest. All of these things have been fulfilled by Christ and abolished by Christ. As far as salvation is concerned. You see what he's saying? In Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Neither Sabbath keeping nor refusing to keep it. Neither one profits anybody anything. Listen. What does? Watch it now. But faith that worketh by love. Preacher, you've been saying works had nothing to do with the salvation of our soul. You're right. Our works don't. Christ's works do. But that faith that sees Christ, that faith that believes Christ, that faith that embraces Christ, that faith that keeps coming to Christ, that faith that rests in Christ, that faith that finds its fulfillment in Christ is what kind of faith? A faith that worketh. It does work, but it doesn't work by law. It works by love. It doesn't do anything because it has to. It does it because it wants to. You're one preacher to talk about not keeping a Sunday when you're here all day long on Sunday. I'm here because I want to be, not because I'm commanded to be. And you are too. Some of you are here every time the door is open. And you give generously. Why do you give? You give not by law. You give because you love. We pray for one another. We're praying for Ken a while ago. Our hearts go with him as he goes from here. And as he preaches over there. And as he bears the, the sacrifices and these things. Why are we praying for them? Because we have to? No, God deliver us. Because we want to. Because we want to love Him. Can't bear the thought of anything happening to Him, you know. Love Him. Why do we exhort one another and encourage one another? We love each other. Why do we give? Because we want to give. Why do we forgive? Because we want to. We're ashamed when we don't. Why do we support the gospel? Because, like Frank prayed, make us cheerful givers. What a prayer. Make me a cheerful giver. And I tell you, this faith here has learned that it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more fun to give than to get. That's right. It's more fun. It's more joy. It's a happier experience to be able to share than to receive. That's right. You know that. That's the kind of people you are. We help the missionaries. Why? We're supposed to. No, I don't do it because I'm supposed to. Don't give me something I'm supposed to do. Do it because I want to. God gave me the want. You see, God gave you the want. Faith worketh by love, not by law, not by duty, not by requirements, not because I have to, because we want to. Law! No, sir. Love. Yes, sir. We serve, we attend services. These men keep this building beautiful. The ladies do their work, and the people play the instruments and sing, and all these things. Why? Well, we got to work our way to heaven. No, sir, we already got the inheritance. It's ours. It's reserved in heaven for you. Do it because just exactly what we want to do. Love to. See that? Faith worketh by love. That's the kind of faith. And don't let anybody, I know you won't, but some of us not going to be here always. And don't let anybody come in here and sneak around and tell you that you can be in better shape with God by doing certain things, you know. And you do it for that reason. Christ profits you nothing. But they can come and preach Christ, and that'll motivate us. Love Him. Love Him.